A listener sent us a picture of a lemon tree that's looking a little rough. It was planted in 2018. It looks like it was a 5-gallon when it was planted, probably close to a 10-gallon size, maybe a little bigger. And a number of the leaves on the end are brown and curling. Now, we talk about watering. Sometimes an overwater can be just as deadly to a tree as underwatering.
Oh, absolutely. Water is a main factor here. And a lot of people don't think, oh, the more water we give it, the better off it's going to be. Generally, your leaves will turn quite yellow when you get a good overwatering situation. Depending on where this tree is actually located, could be kind of sunburned, especially for a young tree, especially if it just happened in the last month or so. Might want to consider either upping the water a little bit, depending on what the actual water regime is, and maybe having some shade cloth and protecting the young tree for the first season or so.
When you drive through the old citrus groves and they're all painted white, that's not really aesthetic reason that they're painting them.
No, they try to make them even so that it looks nice and clean, but generally that's to protect the bark. Because the citrus is a very thinned bark tree. I mean, citrus are basically big shrubs, and we prune them up to make them trees, which makes it actually harder to pick the fruit sometimes. But, you know, they grow like that because it protects the bark from the sun. And, you know, that outer cambium tissue can actually burn in our hot sun. You can get, you know, over 100, 110 degree temperatures on the surface of the trunk, and that will kill that live tissue. So that paint is actually used for reflection, a little whitewash to help protect the bark of the tree.
Now, we've got 8 different types of citrus tree on the north side of our orchard. And I didn't trim any of them for the first number of years, just let it shrubbed out. And then just now I'm starting to trim up and get the leaves off the ground so we can get to all the fruit on the inside. And it's funny, I've got one orange tree right in the middle that everything else is completely green. And I've got this one, and I know it's not a water issue, you know, but I can't figure out. It doesn't produce as well as all the others, and it never looks quite as green. And it's funny, it's like, what is it about this one in the middle that I'm missing?
It could be something with the roots underground when it was planted. You know, there could have been something with the root structure that might have been compromised or quite, you know, didn't develop quite the same as the others. I like to leave my citrus trees, pretty much unpruned. You just don't want the leaves to touch the ground because especially if you're flood irrigating, you don't want any water or fungus be able to, you know,
infiltrate
touch
the leaves.
Yeah, and get back up into the crown of the tree. But as low as you can keep it, you'll be better off. The tree will like you better for it.
Do you have a variety of citrus that you like production-wise? I haven't found one I haven't been happy with.
They're all quite good. It kind of depends on your personal taste. I like good blood oranges. They take a long time. You're not going to get fruit for 7 to 8 years. But I'm more of a lemon-lime type of guy, variegated lemon, those pink variegated lemon, Eureka variety, one of my favorites, very no-nonsense tree, easy to maintain, beautiful pink limes, very sweet. You can almost just eat them straight.
I like the citrus over – I like how long they'll stay on the tree ripe. You know, your apples, your peaches, you've got a small
window.
Harvest window there, but – for the citrus, I mean, it'll keep you a couple months if you gradually just
right, you have a good grapefruit tree, you'll be eating grapefruit for months and giving it to your neighbors, and yeah, everybody's enjoying.
We've mentioned winds. Let's talk about rain coming off the roof as we wrap up this hour. We don't typically see gutters included in the original build of home. A lot of builders in Arizona, you know, we don't get enough rain. It's not worth to put the gutters
right
in, but a lot of times it is worth it if depending on the roof size and structure and layout, you dump a lot of water in a short area, fast period of time, and bad things can happen.
Right. I mean, you think of when we get rains, most people think of the winds, but the rains usually do accompany us in the monsoon season. And, you know, an inch of rain on one square foot of your roof is over a half a gallon of water. So you think of your average, you know, 500 to 1,000 square foot type roof, you're talking, you know, over 600 gallons of water there. And like you said, we don't get a whole lot, but a lot of people are starting to harvest their rainwater, either for containers to use in their landscape or just a design within their landscape. They build swales and catchments to help, you know, reduce their need for irrigation. So when we get good downpours of water like this, you want to make sure that, you know, those gutters, if you have them, or your pipes that are channeling your water are clean and been maintained. When I'm up in trees, I see a lot of flat roofs. And the scuppers that come off the flat roof, people don't realize that, you know, there's debris that can catch up there and then clog that. And then you have many pounds of water that's sitting on that roof if you have a good, you know, 2-3 inch rain. And that can cause a lot of damage. As well as in your landscape, you have your, you know, your basins and your swales that you're collecting water. They each have a little overflow system. And you just want to make sure that the debris is cleaned out at that so that the system's functioning like you want it to.
So, Richard Atkins, thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us and
driving up for
the broadcast. If somebody needed a consulting arborist, you're Gilbert Arborist?
That is correct.
And that's kind of a – you go between there and working on city properties through how many trees are in Phoenix? On your parks?
Within the parks and the streets in Phoenix, there's just about 100,000.
You don't think about 100,000. That's a lot to manage.
It's a lot to manage, but the benefits it brings to the residents of Phoenix on an annual basis is over $9 million.
Wow. That took some calculation.
Yeah, there's a lot of calculations out there. That's part of the job, keeping the inventory, trying to grow, plant new trees, as well as maintain the older trees to increase the canopy.
And that's just Phoenix. Just about every city in the state has its own arborist. I'd say city, you know.
And a program to, you know, provide shade and cooling for the residents. Exactly.